All right, I think we're go.
We're going.
And preach amongst the people today. I have to follow every bit of his advice, so here I am. Now, it doesn't matter how foolish or wise any of us are, but I think it's safe to say that if any of us could chart the trajectory of our lives and compare what has actually happened in our lives with all that we hoped and dreamt, all that we longed for at a certain point, there's probably points of divergence along the way. Yeah? Points where we've been blessed beyond measure, and we've said to ourselves, I didn't deserve that. Where did that come from? How did I become the recipient of so much grace? And other times where we have been participants in a broken and troubled world, where there's waiting and disappointment and sorrow and grief. Often enough, at Christmas time, religious people Can you just hear me? Oh. Religious people in general have been accused of acting in this saccharine, sentimental sort of way around the season. We like to sing Silent Night and Away in a Manger and act like all is well in the world. And yet we go home to our families and we're all too aware that not all is well in the world. And we read the newspapers and it seems clear enough. The way that we figure out how to make sense of that tension says a lot about how we're going to live in the world. If we decide that it's just how it is and we got to do our thing and the devil take the hindmost, then that's how we're going to live in the world. But if we decide that we're going to actually engage the world in the spirit of Christmas, as most of the Christmas cartoons tell us this time of year, then maybe we'll engage the world in a different way. The writers of the lectionary, as though they know this, and I'm sure they do, are quite quick to try and wring any of that sentimentality out of the Christmas season. This time last year, we were hearing a sermon, I'm pretty sure, about the slaughter of the innocents and Herod and his reprehensible crime against humanity, against children. Merry Christmas, everybody. Well, today we might not have quite as gory a story, but this beautiful story of Simeon and Anna, these wise old souls who've become fixtures in the temple, is not without its own tension, I would say. Two people who have been waiting their whole lives for the consolation of Israel. Patiently waiting. And all along, Anna, it says, has been praising God, giving thanks. She's been a voice of encouragement in all of that time. Now, I could tell you, listen, people, that's how you need to be. Be more like Simeon and Anna. But that would be me doing you a great disservice. Because always, always in the gospel stories, the Christ in the story is the center of the story. And as long as I can get as close as I can to that bullseye in this sermon, in any sermon, I think I'm close to, that's where I need to be. We as believers are blessed to have a story at this time of year that acts as a bridge from the Old Testament tradition of the prophets, where the Holy Spirit would come up along and touch select people, whisper in the ears of select people, Simeon and Anna, those two kinds of people. All along, the Spirit is whispering in their ear. The consolation of Israel is coming. The Christ is coming. And most of us, if we think of, if we're plotting the trajectory of a good career one way or the other, we wouldn't think that you get to live 85 years with no results whatsoever. And right before you die, you get to have a moment where you realize that none of it was for waste, had gone to waste, and then you die. We don't typically see that, but this is the story of these two people. The reason this story is a bridge not only because it describes Gentiles in Simeon's prayer, it's a bridge to our world because the writer Luke, and I think he might even be hinting at this in the story, is pointing to the day when Gentiles will have the Spirit of God whispering in their ear. As we look at our tumultuous 2011, and we look forward to our, no doubt, in many ways, tumultuous 2012, as we look at our own lives and our own tensions, our own pains, our own griefs, our waiting. Just as Simeon and Anna, we are a people in wait of a God who will console his people. A ridiculous, over-the-top promise of God. No less ridiculous and crazy a promise than it was 2,000 years ago. All we can do as God's people is listen to the whisper of the Spirit in our ears. Give thanks and praise God as often as we can. And whenever we have opportunity, whenever we see Christ embodied in the numerous ways, as Gerard Manley Hopkins says, 10,000 places, we're called to embrace and take up that Christ, whatever that looks like, just as Simeon, just as Anna, to recognize the Christ that's right before our eyes. It's my hope for each of you in this room and those of us who are flung far and wide from this congregation that we would learn to be attentive to the whispering of the Spirit of our ears, and we would know when to seize hold and gently embrace the Christ that is before us every day. Amen.